Now, you can't call rolling when I just put badam in my mouth. That's not my fault.
Oh, yeah. If I had done it, it would have been, oh, look, Kev, we knew we were going to record and Kev just put some food in his mouth.
We're, how are you, first of all? Hello, everyone. And welcome to the Brown Road.
Do you know what? It's going to be one of them. It's going to be one of them podcasts where I'm the only one with headphones on. He's already dying over there with a coughing.
Sorry. That's him, not me.
Wrong.
You're
wrong,
scoffing. Like, all I can hear is... Oh, but... Come on, it's a lad's night tonight. Come on.
We have. Well, firstly, what we should point out is we are recording this podcast at a very different time of the day, even though it's only about 2 hours earlier than what we normally do.
Yeah.
And that is because West Ham are playing Tottenham tonight.
Oh, big
and
game.
And I'll be honest, this started from last week. Kedge instigated, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't know how I got roped into this.
Right, because he went, lads, you know, West Ham are playing Tottenham. That's obviously Kedge's team versus my team.
Yeah.
They're playing at London Stadium, West Ham's ground, and they're playing at 8 o'clock tonight. Mm. And he goes, well, if we record the podcast early, then we can have a little munch and enjoy the football.
Mm.
And I've said it before, I'll say it again, I'm not that into the football. I would watch, obviously, West Ham Spurs because it's a close derby and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I like this bit. I like this
now. Of course, this
I'm
is,
in a happy place
it.
Right now.
Of course.
Because of this little spread.
I don't think I am.
I know you're not. Because you're Man U.
No. Forget the football. What don't you like about this? Like, this is beautiful. Like, you know, when you're with the boys, when you've got your balaji putting up crisp there, you've got your badam, you've got your nuts, you've got everything.
But that's what I mean. Like, you know, when you come here, we're just so used to that we know what the score is. You come
in and out.
Everyone's had dinner and stuff.
3-0 West Ham. Everyone knows what the score is.
Everyone's had dinner before they've got here. So no one's sort of faffing around in all of this kind of stuff. Mm. And it's like you come in here, and I mean Kedge faffs around because he makes a coffee for about half an hour, which is...
Is it because of the time of day?
Time of day, and also because we got big things are going on.
And that's what I mean. So it's just, do you know, I'm just not used to this. It's all a bit different.
It's been taken out of his comfort zone, isn't it? Yeah. It's not the usual routine, so he can't handle it.
Yeah, so basically, because we haven't eaten...
You know that routine.
And we are
OCD Saj is in a different zone today.
He's messing with him. He's like, right.
He is, yeah.
So he's now just going to stay quiet until it hits about 8, 9 o'clock when we normally would record, and then he'll start
talking
to
people.
Yeah. Like, right, now so we've got food coming. Thanks to our good friends, and you know them very well as well, Satch.
Good friends. One of probably, I would say, in my top three.
Well, only because when we were...
Top three, mate.
We phoned Pete, who runs Gunchens in Ilford.
Yeah.
First, he just had a conversation. So we want to watch a football. So we've got all these snacks and bits out now. Sorry, that's why the podcast is going to be a bit noisy. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, everything out.
And then we're like, oh, what are we going to eat later? Mm. And then actually, sorry, can we discuss this?
Can we discuss it?
Our thought process?
Yes.
Because, look, I don't give a crap about anything going on in the world. My food plans are probably more important than anything
else. I think all of our food plans are important. We're all quite passionate about it.
I like discussing, hey, what are we going to eat? Like, you know, if you're on a holiday, what are we going to eat tomorrow night? What are we going to eat for lunch? What do you want to eat?
Breakfast.
I like those conversations because it's like breaking up. But you immediately brought a strategy onto it, Kedge.
Yes.
Like you often do.
Well, it started with, like, when you two were in the car today, which has never happened.
No,
so
right.
Me and Tommy were in a car together. We were driving up to
Manchester.
Cricket.
Yeah.
That was a long journey.
What you talking about?
That was for the World Cup or something it was.
That's
cricket.
3, 4, 5 years or 2019?
Yeah.
But today, it just so happens that Kedge picked you up from somewhere and you were both heading here.
I had voiceover
which
near
was weird.
His house.
Yeah, it was weird because then I called you when I left, so I was talking to Tommy, but the both of you, because you were in the car together.
Yeah.
And we were talking, you know, tangent Tommy, obviously. I just said, look, I've left. I'll be there in an hour. We were talking about something completely random. Then as I was leaving, I was like, oh, by the way, what were we eating? Like, what were we going to get? Because, you know, we said we'd get some food
I'm glad you brought that up.
And then I was just like, do you know what? You're together, you two. I leave it in your capable
hands. I could tell, by the way, on that note, on a little tangent, Tommy, again, that you didn't want to be a part of the conversation.
No, it's not that.
You said 3 or 4 times on the phone to me, okay, cool, I'll leave you boys to work it out.
No, because...
Okay, cool, I'll leave you boys to it.
No,
you know
because...
when someone does that?
No,
I'll
it wasn't.
It.
For me, I thought he was giving us his ashirwad to say... You go for it, boy.
Yeah,
no, I don't mind because, look, at the end, Tommy, it could have been me and you in the car together and he could have said, I'll leave you to it. Just
I wouldn't have said that.
He wouldn't have known.
He wouldn't have. No, but if it was
keep
me and him.
Keep and discuss
it. Tommy, you would have. All right, let's swap it. If it was me and Kedge in the car, you would have been like, just deal with it.
Whatever you want. Yeah. Well, basically, I don't have any requirements. I'm like, I'm a food slag. Mm. I'll eat whatever, right?
Yeah.
Kedge is food specific, yeah. Very yes. much so.
Mm. Yeah.
Sachi's a semi.
No, I'm all right. I'll eat anything.
No, Sachi's quite good with it. Like, you'll eat mostly. It's just because I'm vegetarian.
You're not too big on
so
red meat and things like that.
Yeah, like, so, stuff like that. Yeah,
so you wouldn't have, like,
yeah, we're not going to bring in a buffalo, are we?
No, but yeah,
you never know.
Well, if you weren't here, Kedge.
Oh, hello.
You know what goes on. My point is, no, this is a strategy.
But Tommy knows what I eat anyway.
Yeah. Chicken, and you love anything veg, right? So that's then you're a safe bet.
Yeah.
But basically, Kedge went, well, we're going to get it ordered in, right? Mm. What delivers well? And that was the question.
That was the question. I was quite impressed by myself.
What delivers well?
What delivers well?
And I'll tell you what, because obviously, over the years, you know, all the food you order, Chinese, pizza, Italian, whatever it is, you're like, actually, some things, particularly now with Deliveroo's and all the Uber Eats and all that stuff and Just Eat, you can get anything delivered.
Yeah.
But actually, not everything delivers well.
Correct.
Mm. Chips do not deliver well.
Waste of time.
Kedge's Things We've Learned does not deliver well.
Kedge, that's a whole other topic.
I'm glad you brought that up.
You've teed him up.
You're going to have to take that back.
Because we've had some feedback about some people enjoying his Things We've Learned.
Oh, forget. I wouldn't even say enjoy.
Wait, before you...
Your mum don't count, mate.
No. It's worse than that. So, okay, this all links in now. Let's just do it. So we then kind of go, yeah, what delivers well? And then we basically decided Indian food is the best.
Yep. Yeah.
Let's go Indian.
Do you know what? I knew you'd pick Indian.
Yeah, I knew it.
Are you happy with that?
It was either that or Turkish, like a mixed grill, but that's not good. He's only going to have falafel and halloumi.
Yeah, no, and do you know what? With a Turkish, I don't think you can have it. Like, it needs to be there and then, off the grill and in your...
Correct. Right. It doesn't deliver well.
It doesn't really deliver
well. With desi food, we can redo it. Even the naans, you can re-put in the dhava. Yeah. You know, you warm the rice up, warm everything. You can make it all bubbling hot.
Do you know what? There was two things I thought. I thought they're going to go Indian or they're going to go pizza.
Oh.
Yeah. I didn't think pizza.
The two
pizza
things.
Was the first word that he said.
I've just done it too many times.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just thinking about it. We're at home. You know, what's the two easiest things?
But then he goes, because what decent places have you got in East London? Now, I know before East London jumps down my neck, we're not renowned for the best Indian food. It's more, you got your Brick Lanes in East London, but that's a bit further into London.
A bit further up.
And like Harrow, West London are known for it. West London are known for like a bit more Punjabi cuisine. Harrow's got like loads of kind of fusion, really nice restaurants, Stanmore.
Northwest,
yeah, you know, all that. So, what do we do? Anyway, my point is, I ring my guy, Gunchen's restaurant,
Peter
and he loves the podcast, by the way.
Mm.
So he basically goes, no worries, I'll send you a selection. So the food is about half an hour away.
Oh,
we're going to hear the door go. And I'll be honest, you're going to see my attention. You're going to see what I'm like. Because once I hear ding dong, and I hear my wife go, all right, the food's arrived. And she knows Pete as well.
Right.
And if he delivers it, whatever.
I know Pete as well.
I know what you're... If I hear that, I'm going to want to wrap this podcast up and get out and eat the food. I cannot be leaving that food sitting there.
Right.
Knowing that my sons are out there as well.
So this podcast might be 20 minutes.
Might be, right? But Pete went, oh, what do you want? I went, I don't know, Pete. He kind of fancies saag. I want one like a something chickeny for Sach, maybe a butter chicken and some saag and some other bits of... He goes, fine. I'll send you a selection. So we don't know what we're going to get yet. It's quite exciting. It's quite nice to be in the safe hands of someone like that.
Mm. He knows his stuff, though.
He knows his stuff. Yeah. And he also, because he loves us, hopefully we'll get some really good food.
Oh, yeah. Well, he promised me saag, so that's all I care about.
Right. And then he
put a phone down.
Put the phone down. Yeah. Then the phone rings back. I think, is there a problem?
Right. Forgot where you lived.
No. He did say, text me your address.
Did you text
me
your address?
I did. I texted him. Right? And then I did a little prayer emoji. Thanking you.
Thank you.
And he rung back and he went, by the way, can I just say... And I went, yeah? What is it, Pete? You're such a great guy. You're just sending us food.
Yeah.
We love you. And he went, Kedge's Things I've Learned are the best.
So refeed?
He goes,
now what? Cancel the food.
He goes, you know what, Sach? He goes, Tommy, you and Sach, the things you two say, I've heard before. But Kedge's always blows my mind. Whatever. It's left field. And I thought I was part of a hidden prank show. Yeah, it's a prank.
April Fool's.
It's a prank.
I couldn't believe it. I almost crashed the car.
And he was going,
That's
oh
BS,
yeah,
mate.
Oh
BS.
Yeah, bruv. All of a sudden, he grew several inches.
Me and
in Baxi,
we go back a few years,
man.
He don't even know you.
He don't know you, bruv.
He don't know you.
He wouldn't recognise you walking down the road.
We connected on another level. Do you know what I mean?
We don't want to know that level.
Well, yeah, exactly. So now, Ken did like, I love Gunchen's restaurant. They send me saag and they love my fat.
He said that he has to sometimes, when he's listening in the car, he has to stop his car to then Google what I'm saying to go, wow.
Yeah.
The words were, Wow.
Yeah. I stop and Google sometimes what you say as well, because it's mostly rubbish.
I mainly Google.
Did he just say that?
Why the hell am I still working with Kedge? That's something I Google that.
He said that. Such is in disbelief.
I think he's pulling all of
it. I tell you, the food is going to taste beautiful. I told him, I said, there's so much ghee, I can feel it coming out into the salt today.
I don't believe it.
We're looking forward to it.
I love you, Peter, but I don't believe you.
Thank you in advance. And happy Easter, everybody. Happy Easter. Happy Vaisakhi. Happy Ramadan. Happy Eid.
It's coming soon.
It'll be next week. Next week.
Will it be?
It's next week.
But what day is it for them?
I think it's like Monday, Tuesday.
Okay, so we might.
You might not sync in with. I thought you were going to be thinking of Vaisakhi.
Will it be the night? Yeah. Well, Vaisakhi, I'm hosting Vaisakhi in Trafalgar Square on Sunday. So that'll be the usual kind of big, you know, central London affair, but I don't know when the official Eid celebration, but celebrations all round. I like this time of year. I always said I like it, and it's a lot of family, a lot of food time, kids are off school, we've been eating loads. I've done more Easter eggs this Easter than I've ever done before.
Well done.
And you know what, I'm enjoying it because I train every day,
yeah,
and then I took the week off. I'm like, I'm just gonna do that. I've had a Kit Kat, you know, the ones you brought for the kids.
You smashed them.
I did. And you know what,
they were for the kids.
Because they've got three or four, and I don't think they're really lucky. I'm glad to say my kids aren't that kind of mad for chocolate.
Right.
They like more sort of sweets and snacky little bits
rather
than chocolate. So in a way that they haven't really been going, oh, where's my egg? Where's your egg? Milo, you can't touch mine. You can't, you know, they're not like that. They're not fighting.
But that was
it.
A thing when we were kids.
I know.
It was.
But that's because I don't think
my brother touched my Easter egg.
But I don't think they did.
We're getting into a fight.
They didn't do the 99p, £1, £2 ones then. It was always like
the big ones.
Yeah, it was a £10 egg. Or
with like a
egg.
Mug and all of that kind of jazz in it.
Yeah, yeah. So I think for that, it was always going to be me and my sisters have to share that. Then we all have to agree what we're going to have and everything else. So they're a bit easier. But
no,
anyway,
it's funny
that you said
that you ate your kids' Easter egg, the one that I bought them, because they were small ones. I'd never buy big ones. I wouldn't. Because I just know that. All the parents can be like, stop.
Yeah.
But anyway, everyone that I've said that I've bought Easter eggs for, like their kids, like my mates, like niece, they're like, we've eaten them all. I'm like,
what the parents have?
Yeah, so I'm like,
I don't think
everyone's eating them all.
Kids are not that excited by Easter eggs. The level of excitement we used to have for Easter eggs, I don't think it's there now. And I think that's also
a big thing.
I tell you, that's these companies to blame for, because I just don't think they're as exciting. They're still making it, if not boring, compared to what we used to get the mug, used to get a little bit of, you know, sort of, I don't know, you'd get an accessory with the egg.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. Nowadays, they're just doing the egg and they've got smaller. And actually, there's no real enjoyment or excitement for the kids. And you're thinking, well, if we had that excitement back then, 30, 20 years ago, then why have they not moved it on? These brands, they're not thinking outside the box.
Here we go.
Why aren't our people doing this? We need to move it on.
We need to bring the kids back into the Easter egg game.
Kedge Darwin and the theory of Easter egg evolution.
But yeah, everyone eating loads of Easter eggs. And you know, come on, guys. Good news. The time clocks went forward in the UK.
Spring forward.
Summertime is here.
Yeah.
See, again, you know what? That's caught me off guard this weekend as well.
What do you mean?
No, I'll tell you why. So, obviously, Easter weekend, bank holiday, four-day sort of bender you're off for.
Four-day. FDW.
It's weird because I don't think the time changes ever fell in that weekend, ever, that I can think of.
I think you're right, you know, because Easter's come slightly early, isn't it?
Easter's early this year. It's usually sort of like first or second week of April, isn't it?
Okay.
And the time changes just, it's like, it's all come together. And the other day, I was sitting there, I was just like, I'm not ready. Like, do you know, like all of a sudden, 7:30, daylight.
Yeah,
and I wasn't.
Can't moan about that.
I'm not moaning about it, but I just think, like, you know, everything's just happened so fast in one weekend. It's like,
like some announcement in stages or something.
Yeah, I did. It's crept up on me.
It crept up with quite a lot of stuff out the blue. So
yeah,
long weekend, which means you're suddenly going to be DJing all over it,
working a lot.
Clocks have changed. Everyone's out and about. Routines are out the window. I see what you mean. You're right. Because I went away and came back on Friday night, so it's now Monday. What day is it today?
Tuesday.
I've lost
track of days.
Lost track of time.
Yeah.
And I'm doing that classic thing that everybody does for the first 3 days of when the clocks go back. I'm going, well, it's 6:45, but really it's 7:45.
Yeah.
Well, it's 8 o'clock, but really it's 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
So
that fades after
3 days. And by the way,
God, you guys are making it like you've just come out of the cave or something. And just realise that it's
I feel
just,
like I have.
Yeah. Like, you guys are talking about this time change as if it's like a big thing, like you're jet lagged.
And every year I've realised I struggle changing the time on my oven. Like, I don't know what's required. You got to do. You definitely got to do two things at once.
No, you don't. Is yours a Miley?
No. No. Okay. Neff. But I got two.
Neff has got two buttons, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
One. They both pop in and out.
No. Only one of them comes out. Okay. Only one of them. This is what I mean. So there's that.
I'll fix it for you.
And if any, and so I'm going to just say this right now. Shout out to anyone who tried to change the time on their oven,
yep,
and in the end just put the timer on for the oven to come on.
Everyone does that.
Yeah, everyone does that, don't they? I did it. I changed it to an hour back, then pressed like, okay, back to the main menu.
Gone.
And that time was still there.
Yeah.
And the timer is just ticking down from whatever.
I have to go around and do so many people's ovens because they don't know how to do it.
See what I mean?
Go around and do people's
ovens. Yeah, I have to.
Community service.
In the family. Well, because they don't know how to do it, so I have to go around.
So you're known as Mr. Oven.
Mr. Oven. Mm. But you know what it is they give it a go first, then they mess it up. So then it's really hard to then get it back to normal again.
No, if you can change it, you can change it.
No. What they do is like they put the timer thing on for the oven.
They've gone into the wrong mode.
Yeah, they've gone into the wrong mode. And then all of a sudden it freezes the whole oven and then you can't, you know what I mean? So it's nightmare.
So anyway, we're adjusting. We're all adjusting. If you're adjusting, don't worry, you're not on your own. We're with you right now and we're trying to get our head into what this crazy world is all about right now. Talk about crazy world. This other thing. Easter weekend is all about, hey, it's when your wife goes, hey, we need to do stuff as a family. We need to do stuff as a family. Yeah, and I'm like, well, we just did a week in Centre Parks. That's all right.
Yeah. What more do you want to do?
And by the way, I'm talking about how things are different this time around.
So you had to do a week and then come back and then do more stuff.
Right, that weekend, because we came back.
But I'll tell you why, Tommy. That's because you're not working.
Right.
If you were working, things would be different.
Completely. And I just happened to, this week, just happened to be quite quiet. I think mainly because of Ramadan and there's a lot of events and comedy nights that aren't happening because everyone's just laying low a little bit.
You know what? It's very quiet.
Yeah.
Like even this whole weekend I was DJing, it was quiet. It wasn't busy at all.
I remember from 25 years ago when I was DJing and during Ramadan, the clubs would be quiet.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? And then you start going, profiling. You're like, how many of our clientele are Muslim? Then obviously quite a lot. Or it just must affect everyone's social circles. They're not coming. Anyway, but here's the random thing. So we came back on that Friday night. Had the day, all day Saturday with my mum and dad and sisters and family. And then Sunday, my wife goes, right, let's take the kids out. And I'm like,
Where?
I think the kids just want to sit on the Xbox.
Weather's been rubbish.
Yeah, right. She booked tickets.
Oh, yeah.
For a museum.
Mm.
She booked tickets for a museum for all of us to go.
Museum?
I'll tell you what, it was not, when I found out how much it was, I was like, I wouldn't have done it. Oh. It was £90 for four tickets.
Holy moly.
Right. Now, and
nearly
it's
25 quid each.
£90 for a museum.
Let's just say it's £100.
Right.
£90 for a museum.
Plus travel, plus lunch, plus breakfast, plus hot chocolate,
live
plus
performers.
Snacks, plus
live
coffee.
Performers. Huh? Live performers.
Live performers. My chitter, bruv. My chitter was more lively than any performing guys.
Then that's two bills plus.
Easily. And actually, we went and had like a proper dinner.
Oh my God. So you went on another holiday.
Four biller.
It was a free £400 day.
Oh, easily. My. This is the problem. Cozy lives, mate. It's ridiculous.
Well, I'll tell you what you realise is, how much did the kids enjoy it? How much did I enjoy it?
Mm.
And how much of it really is my wife just doing it because, hey, she can then say, oh, you know, we took our kids to a museum. But a museum that we went to...
Gone. What was it? It must have been brilliant.
Yeah.
It must have, for £90.
What do you think? What's the best museum you've ever... Natural history
interactive. It's got to be interactive.
And you know what? All of them, science, natural history, they're all free.
So that's right, what I mean. For £90, it must have been... They must have, like, got you into space, something like top of the range VR or...
I'd want a massage at the end of it, right? I'd want some sort of spa treatment. No. Yeah. It was the balloon museum.
Shut up.
Bruv, it was a museum.
Where was that?
Of balloons. It's a pop-up museum on the south, on the central London, right by
they
the river.
Popped up and ripped you off.
No. So they had loads going on there, right? But it's right on the river and all that. But I'm like, I'm an idiot.
What do you do?
Exactly. I'm an idiot.
Look at balloons, clearly.
As we're getting there, I'm like, hang on. Is like a history, the history of balloons?
Yeah.
What are we going
to
do?
Who was the first person to go, I know, I need to blow into this?
Yeah. Do we all get blown? Yeah. I don't know. Like, what happens when you're there?
What happens if you pop it?
Yeah, do you get let down?
Oh.
Don't know, right? But either way. So, it's basically, I can't even say.
Was it like loads of balloon arches?
No. Yeah, like a wedding.
I'm just like a reception. Like a birthday party, so balloon wall.
You're onto something there, actually, because I didn't even think of that. That, you know, the people that manipulate.
Make the dogs out of it.
Yeah, make dogs or, you
know. Yeah, balloon art.
Yeah, like a display kind of balloon display.
Is it like art like that? Yeah. No. It was basically, it was obviously all been set up and curated by artists.
Yeah, of course.
And the idea behind it was that I read it and I thought that doesn't make no bloody sense. It was it was all about senses.
I knew it. Everything's about senses.
But it was
about
senses and how it's linked, how the joy of a balloon is linked to everything that we are as people and the expansion and the world.
Give it a rest.
And so basically there was lots of different things inflated and inflating. So it wasn't all balloons, some of them like were canvas.
Prices like, inflated.
Well, definitely.
Yeah.
And you go around and so, yeah, and you go through like what you just walk through this building in different kind of rooms and that. And there's different, The best thing about
But don't you get like, isn't there like some pit of balloons? Yes,
that was the best bit about it.
Right.
There was one giant, right? Like ball pit.
Right.
Like the biggest ball pit you can imagine, like that.
And you just jump in.
But they're balls. They're not balloons, so they cheated.
Yeah, you're right. And then you think, oh, so it's not balloons. It's like an inflatable.
So this ball stuff they have everywhere. They have these ball pits and like, you know, like it's all part of sensory museums.
Yeah, that's exactly
it. There was one.
There's loads of them.
Yeah, that you kind of you know whatever it is. It's all to do with the art. So anyway, but I want to put it out there. Anybody who's got to go to a museum or got to go do stuff like that. I guess it depends on what you like as a dad, and maybe you're better people than I am. But I flipping hate it.
Even
if it's beneficial to my kids, I hate it.
One of my mates went, he hated it.
To a balloon museum.
Yeah. He was just rubbish.
The balloon museum. And the kids were like, you know, like, so you, I feel bad. Then you kind of get weirdly annoyed because the kids are going, how long left?
And I'm like, so they're not. Enjoy.
No. And as soon as they go, how long left? And we met some of their other cousins there as well. And they're like, can't we just take these cousins back to our house and play there?
Yeah. Oh.
And then obviously I get that frustrated inner annoyed dad. I go, no, look, take it in, read it. Have you read what it says?
You know what? I think the pressure of this is coming from social media. I think a lot of people see on their social media feeds other families
doing
stuff like this. You know, and they've got that one money shot of their son diving into the ball pit or something along that lines, or they've got a nice family photo in front of coloured light balloons and, you know, they're waving around and all that. And I think what happens is you see it and you go, we need to do this. You know, we need to do this as a family. Oh, look at them spending a family day together. God. That's so lovely. And I honestly, social media is the evil of all of this.
I think
this is why people, because no one, you never really got into all of this stuff back in the day.
Right. And I'm not into that, as you know. Like I said, I haven't posted one picture of a balloon all over the last few days. So, because I'm looking around and kind of going, nah. But my wife isn't a social media fiend like that. She's not crazy for like, oh yeah, do it for the gram. But I think the Instagram social media culture makes you feel like, are you living your best life?
Yes.
And therefore, what do you want to live your best life? Oh, you got to eat all these fusion foods, the croissant burger or the Krona or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And then you got to go to these quirky places and pop-ups.
You haven't got to do that.
And if you haven't done that, you're not living. And
you haven't got to do that.
Yeah, and I think I'm very
it's
much...
It's just gone boggle.
And do you know what?
It's gone boggle.
Even if I did, I wouldn't post it.
No.
It's not really me.
Yeah, you're like...
No, I won't... Yeah, I mean, you know, it's different when it's a family and sometimes you think, oh, you know, it'd be nice to have a photo and everything. But you're right. All of this, the social media stuff. You know what I saw the other day? I've got to just say it because it was the most weirdest thing that I've seen. But because he was a food influencer and, you know, whatever, he made some, you know, brilliant recipes. You know, Tommy doesn't know what it is, though. Do you know what padra is? No, dimpa. No, it's like
I've heard you talk about that.
It's made out of leaves, banana leaves, and they're like round basically. It's a very Gujarati kind of dish, yeah. And but you can fry them. You can either boil them or you can fry them, right, Sach?
Or smoke them.
Are the timber quite small? How big are they?
No, it's like a I'll tell you what it is.
Go on, I know what he's gonna say.
It's a Gujarati Swiss roll.
That's it, an Arctic roll. But it's cut into slices.
Oh, nice. Okay, is it actual cake then, or is
No, it's savory. It's leaf, it's banana leaf. Leaves and masala.
And it's quite big.
Rank.
It's no, not. Really. It's beautiful.
Made of leaves.
Yeah,
it's rank. Beautiful. It's
tiny dimper.
Like, but it's got. It's not. It's not thin.
Forest.
It's not. No.
you know what? I could go in your garden, pick some grass, pick some leaves, roll it all together, put it in a Swiss roll, dimper. Feed it to you.
Right.
No.
But then I don't like the idea of barn. I've never had barn.
No.
You like that?
No. It's not that. But anyway, so you can boil them, put the masala on it, the vagada, or you can fry them. This guy fried them, and then he got a puri, right? He got a puri, he put that on it, and then he put chutney on it, he put another one on top of it, and then he put another puri in it, and he called it the Patra burger. And I'm like, bruv, what are you doing? Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, this is just... You guys are just doing things for the sake of doing things, and it's terrible.
You're right, exactly. And you realise I'd rather just be kind of left alone. I'd rather do stuff
Just a quick thing about museums, you had me thinking. What is the best museum you've been to?
No, oh. None. I've never liked them. Never liked them from school. I'll be honest. I never liked the best bit about it was getting a new rubber and a pencil going through the gift shop at the end.
That was the best part.
For us, honestly, when we said we'd go to a museum for school, we'd bunk off the day and just go in London.
See, I didn't have the balls to do that. I would just.
But everyone did it.
I do. I'm going to sound a bit weird here, but I do like a good art gallery.
Oh my God.
But then I was into art. I was into art, so it's a bit different.
That's one thing I cannot get my head around. Why would you want to go somewhere and just stare at something?
No, you see, I'll be honest, Satch. I'm worried. When we talk like this, we're going to sound so ignorant.
No, you're right. I'm with you on a lot of museums.
At the end of the day, you go there, you look at a picture. Someone could have just put that picture online and I could look at it. And we're doing the same thing. We're looking at something.
Yeah.
I could do that at
home. But back then, there was no online business, wasn't
it? I get that. But then you had books. So you could look at
it. No, but it's not the same.
It is the same.
Okay, but let's say, right, I like houses, right? I like talking about houses. I like well-designed, well-built houses. I like looking at Rightmove and stuff. I'd want to go and look at a house. I don't want to go to a gallery where there are thousands of houses and just walk past them all.
No, but one house has a lot to discover.
So hang on, exactly. what did you like at art museums and galleries? What did you do there?
Because I studied art, obviously, to A-levels and all of that. So basically, it meant that it was
talked about A-levels like it was recently. Yeah. I just want to point out, It was 30 years ago.
It was. But what I'm trying to say is like, it was like, no, so you'd go there, you'd get a lot of inspiration, you sit there, you'd draw, you try to copy the kind of stuff that you're there, you'd have your little sketchbook. I don't know, it was just you'd get a lot of inspiration for your work.
He's absolutely, really.
And also, to see, I remember going to the Salvador Dali exhibition. It is incredible.
I went to the Tate Modern once. I thought it was the biggest waste of time I've been to in my life. Oh. I was like, why did school take us here?
Yeah. Really?
It was just everything, all this dumb stuff that they put out all over the place. It's art.
Would you guys not get excited at the Natural History Museum? Dinosaurs, like all that kind of stuff?
Dinosaurs, yeah.
Dinosaurs,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
A bit of natural history, but Salvador Dali, I'd rather salivate over a Dali. Thank you very much.
All right, I'm with you on that.
Do you know what, though? The best, I wouldn't say museum, it was like an exhibition, was Expo 2020 in Dubai. Remember I went to that?
Oh, yeah, that World Expo. But bro.
No, that's not a museum.
That's kind of like a museum, I'm going to claim it.
No, that's the best thing I've been to.
That's like
Ideal Home Exhibition times 50.
Yeah, miles better than that.
But other than that, museums or art galleries.
It's funny, isn't it? Like we talk about, you know, all these things as a child that we did and we didn't really like and everything like that. And obviously we had April Fool's Day as well. And, again, I just think, you know what, April Fool's Day, I didn't really see that many like pranks that are happening on the telly or, you know, and I don't think they work on social media. I think a few radio stations and TV shows tried it and it was just all a bit
rubbish.
And what I notice is kids nowadays, they're not really involved with it like how we were back in the day. I remember the Easter eggs. Yeah. Again, it's one of those things where I don't think April Fool's Day can work now because of social media, because everything can be checked. You can literally within seconds go, that's wrong. And so therefore, I just don't think it works. And so therefore kids don't, you know, I still try to wind up and my nephew, who's an Arsenal fan, I said, oh my God, breaking news, Arteta is just, he's just resigned. He's not going to be Arsenal, you know. But he was just like, no, he hasn't. Don't be silly.
He's chatting rubbish.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
And even he knows. Uncle Kedge is chatting BS.
I remember like we used to plan it and like try and prank my gran and you know, loads of these things. Like we were like, oh my
How
God.
How would
you
prank your gran?
Well, I remember there was this one time we did it where we basically said, it was one of those, I don't even think you could do that now because everyone gets offended. We pranked our gran.
What did you say?
All of us, like there's
border force at the door.
Immigration.
It's time to go, bar.
It's not valid.
It's time to go, bar. You've been seeing it for a long time.
Back down the border,
kid.
Yeah. No. But I think it was, I think we did it with, I think we did it with,
Would you have to go back to Kenya?
We did it with one of our cousins was getting married, but he was very young. And we just said, oh my God, he's getting married and everything like that. She was like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Blah, blah, blah. And are you sure? And all this kind of stuff. And we really, it did go on for quite a while. It was really funny.
Yeah.
But like, you can't just do, I don't know. It just doesn't work anymore.
That could offend someone now.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think that's what it is. I've never liked pranks. I don't like the idea of someone being the set-up butt of a joke. I just felt pranks a bit mean. I've never just... If you look, even over the years of us being on the radio, we never pranked each other, have we?
No.
We don't do that.
No.
I find that it's a bit... But But then I like I like silly setups. I like fun stuff.
I don't think it's like if it's a prank to make someone feel terrible, then that's not nice. Yeah. But if it's a funny prank.
Yeah, but then.
But a funny prank is always gonna.
But it's like something that's like, I don't know. Tommy goes to pick something up and it's slippery, or do you know what I mean? Like, or whatever it is, that's a bit.
Yeah, but then I'm gonna stack more, it.
Yeah, so and then he's stacking.
No,
then,
but no, like, I'm just trying to think of something that's a bit harmless.
And nowadays, you can't do anything.
Yeah, and
now hang on a minute. We pranked him once. Bardshaw was kicking off with him on the radio. Oh, remember?
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, but I'll be honest, it was. Yeah, you're right. But it was more awkward. For me, because I'm like, oh God, this interview is just not going well.
Yeah.
And then after a couple of minutes of it not going well, and I remember getting a bit of a hot flush, because obviously I've been there before with AI.
Do you want to talk about it now and come out and tell us how you feel?
No, but then, yeah, that's the reason why I left the BBC, was that prank. So, but getting onto things that I actually do like doing and things that I wanted to do over the Easter break that bonded us as a family. We went to Centre Parks, obviously, as I said last week, and we as a family played loads of different sport together. So we cycled together, played tennis together, played pool together, played foot golf together, played football billiads together.
Oh, yeah.
Was it a prank?
Man, I'm getting emotional now.
His eyes are watering.
You know why? Because I know that Peter's food is nearby. Oh, okay, fine. And I'm crying tucking into that saga, and it's going to make me feel better. But
what did you play?
We played badminton together. I thought of you, Sash.
Oh, easy.
And can I just say, I loved it. I love the springiness of a shuttlecock bouncing off my neck.
You sound like you haven't played it in a while.
No, I haven't. I don't think I've played it in 40
it's
years.
Funny you said, I played a little bit of badminton this weekend.
Eh?
See?
Yeah, outside. And the weather was okay. So
don't like it outside then.
Yeah, I don't get that. So on that note, we all enjoyed it. We all loved it. And I'll be honest, I think I'm actually pretty damn shit hot at it, actually.
Oh, hang on a minute. Who'd you play?
Not Kedge. So this is not me rubbing. No, who'd I play? Oh yeah, I played a 7-year-old and an 11-year-old.
That's why you're shit hot.
Oh, no, but I don't think so. I think I had the wrist action, the lunging. Right. You know, like how Desi's naturally our racket player. We all are.
Asians are very good at badminton.
Yeah, badminton, tennis, all rackets, but we do well at.
I'll give you a game.
It's because we are very wristy.
Hold on. You just missed the challenge. I knew he would. Well, I didn't think he would.
I think it's a three-way tournament.
Where did this guy come into it?
I mean, if we're going to have the showdown.
Yeah. I guarantee you, round robin. I guarantee you I won't lose.
I won't come third. Easy.
And bruv, I've only played for half an hour in the last 30 years.
See, I haven't played badminton.
I'm a cunning coyote around that badminton.
You are definitely something with the scene.
I'm telling you that I won't be easy to beat.
Yeah. Do you know what? Badminton, I haven't played in about 5 years because I've moved on to squash.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you still played on a regular.
No, but it's funny that you two both talking about badminton.
Yeah.
One of the boys in one of the other groups is like, shall we start playing badminton again one day?
Why did you move from badminton?
Squash is just a crazy, like I find it more intense. Yeah.
Squash is just a...
honestly, you've got to be on it. I just find it more...
intense. It is.
Yeah.
It is intense.
Do you play singles badminton or doubles badminton?
Doubles.
Okay. Would you want to play singles or doubles?
I've played singles as well. Okay. But when we used to play, it was doubles.
Well, we need a fourth person.
So when we play... No, when we play...
Singles.
Do we play... Okay, we're going to play singles.
No, we have to be, innit? Because we're the three of us.
Yeah, I thought you said we'd draft in a fourth. I thought you said...
Well, we could draft in a fourth.
Because I ain't playing with Simon on my side.
Simon's useless, mate.
You know what? We could have like the Brownlow badminton competition.
Yeah, I think there'd be loads
because
of takers.
Because, you know, all Desis... And I know... And I can't say Punjabis, but I Gujaratis love badminton.
Yeah,
like every community has had a badminton tournament. Badminton weekends, every different sex and all the different parts of the community, they all get together at different age. Not sex.
Sex.
S-E-C-T. Sex, not the right word, but you know, like all the different.
We like to play badminton, all the different sex. Like, what?
No, but.
Shut up my cock.
But Gujaratis love badminton.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, you know what?
All the kakas, all the aunties, everyone are in it.
Tell you why, because it's your. This is such a
how are you making this generalization?
Okay. You're vegetarian.
What's that got to do with it?
As a species, hear me out, right? Like you can tell. Like,
what's
like,
that got to do with
like, okay, so the Bengali boys at school were good at football, right?
Right.
Because they're quick. Right? They're like they were literally like the muchy eating springy gene. They could just change direction. They're handling low center of gravity skill. The ball would stay close to their feet. They were like little Messies, all of them, right? The Punjabis were. I don't know, more fighting or blood. I play basketball or maybe a bit of football.
Weightlifters.
Yeah, but wrestling. I can see you particularly get, like, you know, or just your kind of veggie goodie guy, springy, happy because he's just, yeah, no, no,
that's
it's not. It's not.
That's out of order. Kedji basically called you douse him.
It's a light sport. Yeah, so it's not going to hurt your hadia.
No.
And it's a lot of moving around.
No contact.
Yeah, exactly. No contact. And, you know, even when you smack it as hard as you can, the shuttlecock goes, but then it slows down and parachutes down slowly. You know, that kind of comes down with a bit of heat. So, I don't know. I think all of that kind of fits.
I love how he's just made that into a majority sport.
Like how you see Chinese people with table tennis. You see, like, it's natural for them.
But they're also good at badminton.
Yeah, you're right. Reactions.
Oh, yeah, I think we should look into this then. The Brownlow competition.
Badminton brunch.
Who else plays?
Badminton brunch.
Badminton banger at old school garage brunch.
We're not doing that. I'm just saying, us three, and even if some of our listeners were like, oh yeah, I play badminton.
I reckon. Get in touch. Hide out like a venue.
Yeah, Byron Hall.
Byron Hall and Harrow. And we just lay out the courts. So how does it work? You just turn up, you register, and then
let's not discuss this on the podcast because it's going to be one of them ideas. Like everything else that we talk about, that never amounts to anything.
All right, forget that. Let's us three go and play.
All right, fine.
All right, we'll do that. We'll definitely do that.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. Okay. Let's go with that. And we will. By the way, when we play each other, we're putting it on Instagram.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Mm. It's going to go on the map. Yeah. The full scores result.
It'll be fully made.
We might also need like a proper adjudicator stroke referee type person there because I'm not having Kedge calling in, out, shake it all about.
Yeah. I'll get someone who knows.
We'll pay someone just to be there, monitor those lines.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, do it there. Yeah. Do, you know, like an umpire
VAR check and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's get the real deal. Talking of real deals. You know, now that but if I'm talking quickly, can you hear the speed?
Yeah, it's getting faster and faster.
I swear, I haven't heard the front door go, but I know food is very imminent because now it's going to be in a few minutes.
So let's go.
But talking of food, obviously we love food, and all this weekend because we went out on a little boat ride, by the way, as well. That was the other thing that we had to do.
Wow.
Yeah, for you know, with us as a bonding experience with the family.
Wow.
So we did a little boat ride. It's
funny that I went through the park the other day and I saw people on a pedalo and I was just like,
oh I love a pedalo.
This was a little motorboard one, which is sick. You can get it from Paddington and take it all the way to Camden.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah,
and then go back again. Yeah, it takes 2-3 hours. So it's good fun. And you've got a little table on there, take your own drinks, take your own snacks.
The bonding boat.
I made sausage rolls in the morning. We all had those.
Yeah.
We should do that actually. Go on a boat.
Honestly, it's quite hard to steer because with the little rudder.
With the rudder, thing,
left is right and right is left.
It's opposite.
You can get a bit confused. Mm. And actually, we were the only ones here because we were quite early, like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock on a Saturday morning. But I thought this would be a perfect little place for a little pronto picnic.
Oh.
You'd want to almost do. And then I thought I'd want to have like a pronto and prosecco, like brunch. That'd be a thing. You know, like a thing.
Oh, okay.
Like, let's do pronto and prosecco.
On a boat.
Yeah. Yeah, like a boat party. Going to go right to give everyone pronto.
The boat party, right? Yeah, pronto and prosecco.
There we go. Scrap the badminton. Right. We're going to do this.
And then we started looking up like...
The PP on the BB.
The PP.
Pronto prosecco on the bonding boat.
Don't PP on my BB.
No.
No, because that's out of order.
That is enough.
Have some respect.
That's another night.
She's an important lady. I started looking at pronto. And then I basically came across a load of things on Instagram. And I realised there's a new fad with Asian food.
Mm.
And the fad is...
Another one.
Here we go. Are we going to offend people?
No.
Again.
I've realised what you meant there. What do you mean? I haven't offended no one.
Food bloggers.
Yeah, the food bloggers. But those are the girls that talk sexy and who want you to try my
famous... I've seen guys who talk like that as well.
Yeah, and now, yeah, by the way, thank you to everybody. And I do love it. They keep sending them. Yeah, they go, look, I found another one and I found another one. Yeah.
They're all over the place.
But it's like all of the girls want to talk in that certain way. Mm. And it's fine. Each of their own. You do your own thing. You do you, boo, as long as you're happy.
It's,
but
it's
I'm like
they're doing an English, spoken sort of exam. Do you know where you have to talk into something and the teacher's marking you out of 10?
But for marking you for your breathiness and your supposed sexual look. Anyway.
Or they're locked in a cupboard.
Yeah, but I've realised there's another trend, which is what I'm going to call the culture crunch, right?
The culture crunch.
Which is, now that I've said it, I'm telling you, these phones are such jalaco, right? They're because they're just listening in all the time. Yeah. So that will just keep
pulling I've never seen it.
Okay, so.
I think I know what you're
about. There's a thing, there's now definitely a thing going around where loads of people are making cultures on Instagram.
Yeah. Love a culture.
Well, I'll come back to that in a minute, right? Yeah. And I thought, okay, it's like pronto. But then what they all do They get them, make the kulcha. This is how we make our kulcha. This is how we fry it. This is the butter. And it looks amazing. And it's got the fillings, or it's got crispy outside. You can see they probably slightly overcook it for my personal liking because I don't like it too crispy, crunchy. Mm. My dad does.
Yeah.
My mum makes it perfectly, obviously.
Obviously.
And then, but they do, this is the thing they do. They then get the kulcha.
Yep.
Hold it up on their two flat hands. Hold it up to the camera.
Yeah.
And scrunch it. Oh. And crush it. They pull it on the side. They go, "Kark!" Because they want the mics to pick up on that sound of, like, you know, like you get with crispy bread or biting into, like.
Oh, right. So that's why it's known as the kulcha crunch.
Well, I know. I think I've.
Oh, you've named it.
Yeah.
But it's a thing.
Hold on. That looked great. Because when I see that flat kulcha, I go, great. Put that on the plate. Stick some sabji on top. A bit of a char, a bit of pickle, a bit of whatever, or a bit of day. And you can tear away. But they want to do this crunching. I'm like, no, you've messed it up now. You've made it not look pretty. It doesn't look that pretty.
Sorry, did you just say the word achar?
Yeah.
I've got
something. Have you? What? You got more
charge? What? He's got a VB and Sons bag, bro. Why's he got a VB and Sons bag?
It's because you bought
more charge for you,
bro. I didn't even know about that. I didn't even spot that in the corner.
This is like a fresh deli.
It's a Daza one, bro. Honestly, it's so good, this, and I've had so much joy out of it. I thought, I've got to get you some.
This is mango pieces, carrots, fresh chili. Gerda. What's Gerda?
Gerda, I don't know,
dear.
Explain that.
De gerda.
It's like the, I think English
lemon,
people call it...
red chili.
What's that word that they use? I don't know what it's called, but...
Don't worry. hello@thebrownlow.com. Wow, look at this, Ked. This is good.
And I've got this one for you as well. This is the Ked's homemade.
Oh, I like your homemade one as well.
And then I've got a little... I thought I'd bring you to try this, but we've got to warm it up. It's
food.
It's kitschy. Bubbly not a lot. I know he's not a fan, but I wanted
kitchy.
You to try it.
Kitchy, yeah.
That's what you do when your kachi goes up your bum. Oh, kitchy, let's get pull that out.
But yeah, so we'll try that out. Anyway, okay. Carry on, sorry.
No,
you're on your own.
Kulcha crunch. I'm told you, kulcha crunch has now become a thing. I'm just saying, there's all, like, Desi food's changing, the face.
Are you
a fan of
kulcha, though?
Yeah, I don't mind the kulcha, but I don't like what these guys do. I don't like what these, do you know when they just
Tommy likened it to a paratha.
It kind of is, but it's made a different way.
Okay.
It's not a paratha.
I would have likened it more to a puri.
No, it's not a puri. It's not a puri.
Can I be honest?
Go on.
Sorry, that was a genuine swear. Yeah. I don't think I've ever had one.
Really?
Yeah, we're in bound by the territory.
No.
The murder people who said they can't believe that he hasn't had bomb by
you. Look, my dad listens to the podcast, so Dad, I'm blaming you and Mum here, right? Because
why have you never given Tommy a kulcha?
But then we've always had pronte. We've had crispy pronte at home,
right?
So we had a nice, fluffy, crispy pronte.
No, but pronte and kulcha are different. Kulcha are more on the from the family of bature.
But what's that? No. I think the atta is still chapati atta, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not a puri, Kej.
Of course it is. It's closer to puri than it is a paratha.
No, I don't think it is.
From what I understood...
I think it's like a hybrid.
Yeah, okay.
If puri and paratha the baby, kulcha came out.
From what I think they are, if you forced me and said, right, we're going to shoot you right now, tell us what you think a kulcha is.
Yeah.
I think it's still made on a tava, like a paratha would be, but it's just made with more butter to make it more crispier. That is the only thing I can think is a difference. But I just think some people call them kulcha, and some will call it a paratha.
No.
So you think they're two different things?
Show a photo of it first. Show me a photo of one.
No, do you know what? They're different. In different. I've seen different kulchas in different places. They're not the same. It's not like one.
I've got different kulchas in different areas.
No, honestly. It's like, you know when you got... in different area codes.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Right.
So kulchas can be different things in different areas. Yeah, this needs to go up for some sort of vote.
Someone out there can do it.
I've just whacked in Google. Right. These look like naan. Show me. It's not right. It's not fluffy and pillowy. It's not.
Homemade kulcha with yeast.
Yeah, exactly. It is. It is. That's what it is.
It's more like sort of fried, I think.
See?
Like more crispy. Do you know what I mean? It's not.
It's like
naan.
You know, bature. Channa bature, no, it's the not, same. It's the not. Same kind of thing. It's fluffy. It is that.
It's not that.
These ones, no, they definitely weren't that fluffy because
they're
when
not
they,
fluffy,
they crunch
it's
them.
They crunch them.
They crunch them on the mic to make you go, look. There you go. And I get the crunch is also there so that then
is
it's
like,
terrible. And
is he talking about like kakara?
No, that's flipping hard and crispy. That's completely different. It's okay. All I can say is like imagine a paratha that's like nice and soft.
Yeah.
But instead they cook it with either butter and oil so it goes crunchy.
Okay. Yeah, you're like, right.
So they fry it a bit, if you know what I mean.
But fair enough. That's what but it that is. Also doesn't appeal in my head. If you said to me that, or do you ooh, just
what's
want...
What's that?
Is that your
door? Is that,
is that my doorbell?
Your doorbell going. Oh, you know what?
Has he delivered
like,
to say?
No, I was like, the food's here. I was like, oh no, that's Sachi's doorbell. No, I did just
has
hear
he delivered to Sachi's house?
Maybe. The wrong address.
Right, well, I think we need to go into things we learn.
Okay, wow, look at that straight.
Hang on a minute, I think we need to work out what we ain't worked out what culture is.
Yeah, no, people will tell us. Hello at thebrownlow.com. Okay. Look, we're hungry, all right?
Let's go, bongo.
We're three brown boys and we need our dinner.
We need to go to the culture club.
Yeah, culture vulture.
Right, things we learn.
Okay, I'll go first. I've got this one. You know the Black Eyed Peas song, which is Don't Funk With My Heart?
Yeah.
Oh, la, 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 don't funk with my heart.
God, that's a bit of a selective. Yeah, I wouldn't have thought about it. Until
because this came up again on my social media feed. That, and this is one I didn't know about, and I know about a lot of the other Black Eyed Peas songs, or also Timbaland songs, yeah. Or you hear about...
Copies of Bollywood songs.
Yeah, copies of Bollywood. This is a Bollywood song.
I knew that.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Do you know what song it is?
I do know it, because I remember at the time.
Mm. It's Air No Jawan Hai Sab. So, and it goes, ooh, it even goes, ooh, la, 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 no Joanna, here's up. It's like that.
That's Love Will I Am. Yeah. That's Will I Am.
Yeah, that's
so,
Will I Am.
So there you go. That's the thing I learned this week is Don't Funk With My Heart by the Black Eyed Peas is based on a Bollywood song.
Just adding on to that, the Bollywood song, have you guys seen it yet in the KFC advert? It's so
I
good.
I have seen it.
It's so, who would have thought ever to have picked that Usher Bosley tune?
Well, yeah, it's a Udi random Baba,
Udi one. Baba, Udi Baba. I mean, it's just incredible. And to have that on a KFC advert.
And it's funky as anything.
Yeah, so funky. I've never heard that song before.
See, I wonder if we had heard it, would we have gone, hey man, this is really cool. Let's make a good remix. Or this could like, be modern right now. And yet, the KFC lot come along and go,
who
yeah,
is the Desi at KFC yeah. who plucked that one out?
And why aren't they sponsoring this podcast? We mentioned you enough.
There's a lot of Indian songs that I think would be work well in an advert. There's just loads.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anything about Bappi Lehri, anything funky like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, there's just loads of stuff.
Like there was that one, do you remember that? Was that thing in the fridge? Or there was a one about the fridge and there was a kid cycling and it was something to do with, was it a fridge or something like that?
Kid cycling in a fridge?
No. It was like, I can't remember it now. And it was a massive, I think it was a Bappi Lehri tune, disco one. I can't remember it now.
I remember there's one.
Can't remember. It's gone.
Bunga Nights. Don't remember that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, no. Go on. Anyway, carry on.
What have you learned?
So mine's Easter related, Easter egg related, because obviously Easter just went. Why do some Easter eggs have like that crocodile texture on the shell?
Oh, good one. Oh, I just presume.
Because the skin.
Yeah. Because it's not a smooth
hexagonal
egg.
Kind
yeah,
of.
Why does it have that?
That's a good one.
So. Oh, okay. I'm going to guess it. Now that you've said it, I would not have thought, I would have just thought it was a pattern of their chocolate and the swirl.
But everyone had the same.
Yeah, yeah I reckon it's the grippers that it's made in.
It comes from Germany. Mm. That's not a clue, by the way.
Oh.
The design. I thought it was the mould. That it was made in.
No. So, what they're saying is, if it was a smooth round egg, you'd see loads of little cracks and dents and stuff in it. Whereas if you've got that pattern on it, you ain't going to notice anything.
Oh, so it's like...
So it's more like to hide the imperfections.
So it's a bit like how we, as Desis, would have multicoloured carpets growing up. Because it was like, if you drop your sub-G...
Yes.
You're not going to see it.
I mean, or why we've got lines on our face, so it hides the imperfections.
Is that what
your face always looks beautiful.
Nah, bruv, you always look good from every angle.
Yeah, oh, thank you. Made that up anyway. Thank you. So, that's the thing. But that's the second part of it. How many Easter eggs does a kid consume during Easter?
Oh, the average kid?
The average kid.
Three.
No, you see, I reckon probably 2.2.
But
you're both way off. You said three and you said two. Bro, it's 8.5.
8.5 eggs?
8.5 eggs.
No kid eats 8
I'm going to go beat my kids.
Wow.
8.5? I can't believe it.
That's
a
lot. That is a lot.
That is a lot.
Right, okay. This
enjoy,
one.
Kids. Enjoy. Okay, enjoy. Carl Piero Ashkara Mitro.
My one, this one, absolutely blew my mind and I had to bring this in because I thought, go on.
Is Peter going to stop though?
Peter is going to stop. Peter, stop your car now.
Okay.
Because Peter is going to love this.
Okay.
And actually, this is one for the Punjabi Massive as well. Right? So... Let's take it back to 1889, all right?
I weren't around then.
No, I know.
I told you we don't like museums.
I know. But the Brits back then in Sindh, in this place called Sukkur, they built this railway bridge, but it didn't look safe. But it was a really long railway bridge in this little bend, right? Yeah. And they didn't know if it was safe, and they needed obviously a driver to test this bridge. Mm. So no one wanted to drive the train across this bridge because it just didn't look safe.
Yeah.
At the time, there was a prisoner who was sentenced to death anyway.
Wow.
Right? Oh. So the British people said, you know what? Let's pick him.
Use him.
They said, we're going to train you to drive a train.
train you to drive a train.
Train trainer.
He was given 2 months, and they go, if you can get to the other side successfully, you'll be free. You won't be sentenced to death.
Oh, right, yeah.
Ooh. Right? So this fella...
Would you take that challenge if that was you?
Oh, yeah, I think...
Why not? And it's your
You're
going to
die anyway.
Own. So actually, if this bridge is safe, it's safe for one person. Might not be safe for hundreds. So yeah.
Well, say the whole thing don't make sense, to be fair.
No, because he has to be on a train and the train's got to get across
the
bridge.
It feels like a setup in a film so far. But okay, either way, I'm happy to go with it.
So he does it and he gets to the other side.
Okay.
The people of Sukkur and Sindh were so elated, they started chanting his name.
Yeah.
They started singing his name. To this day, Sindhis sing his name on special occasions, celebrations. Mm. His name was Jamalo Shirdi. Therefore, they started singing, "Ho Jamalo."
No.
"Ho Jamalo."
Bruv, this is facts. This is facts.
No, hey Jamalo did not come.
It's the origins are from Sindh.
We need to fact check that.
No, we don't need to.
That's what the people are.
I was so blown away by this, and I was like, I love this tune and Malkeet Singh and all of those versions of it. And who is Jamalo? Who is Jamalo? Why Jamalo? Do you know what I mean? And that's where it comes from.
You call him Malkeet Singh?
I'm wondering if I've got Malkeet's number.
Right, we can fact check him. Yeah. Malkeet might not even know.
There he is.
Okay.
All right. We'll give him a ring.
Yeah, we'll give him a ring.
Let's finish the podcast. But that is a banger.
Right.
I think that's a blag.
It feels like something's going on. I bet they said...
No.
I bet they went blown away
by the magic of this story.
I bet they went, hey, Majalo. And he just went, yeah, Majalo, Jalmalo, Jalamo. It's all the same thing. Yeah.
I think... Well,
ask any Sindhi. They know this song. Or Jamalo.
Everyone knows that song, kid.
No, but they sing it like on the regs before Malkeet Singh and before these people made it into a big bomb.
I know about that song. I honestly know about that song, but I'm questioning the story.
This is the one that's going to get everyone talking.
Come on, let's do it.
There we go. Right, well, we'll leave you with that one. We're going to go check whether our food's here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have some of this wonderful chutney that you brought along.
Yeah.
Along with my pudding a twist crisp that I've still got from Satch's stash.
Yeah.
We're in a happy place and we're going to watch West Ham beat Tottenham.
Leave it out.
All right. We'll find out tomorrow or in a bit. Until next week. Laters.
Laters.
Laters.